In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What do you care about? At the top of probably all of our lists of what we care about most, our family, that they would be given everything they need to support this body and life, that they have good, honest labor in their adulthood, leisure, enjoyment, perhaps a trip somewhere every now and then. You perhaps care about the Sycamores, maybe the Colts. You care about the safety of your loved ones, even the brothers and sisters of Christ all around the world. In the one body of Christ, you care about them and the persecuted church. You care about what you're going to have for dinner tonight. Maybe what kind of beer will replace the beer currently in your fridge. What show you'll see next, and so on. Care about your insurance and that all of the I's are dotted, the T's crossed, so that should catastrophe occur, it at least wouldn't be as bad. You care that you find relief from your back pain, cure to that ailment, this affliction, that other suffering that you put up with day to day. What did the lepers in our gospel text care about? Their families, to be sure, whereupon contracting this mysterious skin condition in the ancient world of leprosy, God, according to the Old Testament law, required them to move away from their family outside the city to be among the colony of other lepers, because it was unclean, it was unholy. Not immoral. Uncleanness, unholiness takes on a different flair in the Old Testament. So if one day you woke up and found evidence of this skin deadening away, it meant taking a sick day at work and a trip to the temple, where the priest would diagnose you and give instructions according to the directions of Leviticus chapter 13, typically followed by a miserable march outside the city to begin to live outside the city. I imagine their job was not a fan of that, their employer. They couldn't keep up with their friends. Much of what they cared about had to be suspended in order to be separated from the rest of the community. It was a dismal state. So we got us, we got them. What does our Lord care about? It's a good question, especially as it relates to you and those lepers. Your Lord, first and foremost, cares not merely about your body and life, though he does, but he cares about your eternal body and life, and the eternal bodies and lives of all who you care about, and especially those you don't even care about. And as you exist now in eternity, he does care about your body and life in the here and now, because this is part of eternity. But first and foremost, he cares to do everything it takes to bring you by faith into the then and there of heaven, of eternity in paradise, to translate you from militant, the church militant, to the church triumphant. That's his foremost care. And not just you, but the 7.53 billion people next to you. And not just us all today, but the billions of all time, including these 10 lepers. Nothing is ever by accident. Our Lord intimately and personally involves himself in striving after your soul and the souls of all, striving after our salvation. He desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of him. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And it's in that name of Jesus where salvation comes alone. So he desires all to believe in that name of Jesus Christ, what he did for us. So this belief, it comes only by hearing the gospel, the forgiveness of your sins in Jesus' name, is how he will bring about this translation from this world to the next. No person will exist with him in eternity who didn't hear and believe in this truth, that God has had mercy on me, a sinner, through the atoning work of Jesus, who died on the cross, rose again for me, for you, for the whole world. Faith in that name is what God cares about. And not everyone, of course, will believe it. God does grant the power to humanity to reject it. Many have and many will, but first and foremost, in order for God to bring about true faith, it must be preached, proclaimed, heard. That then is how God cares about humanity, is to speak out that gospel through pastors, through laity, all, to speak your need for salvation, and that he himself has satisfied that need apart from any effort of your own. That's what God cares about. So every other care that you and I and these lepers have, they do take a back seat to that primary desire of God to save, to reveal the sin on your heart, and to reveal the Savior of that sin who takes it away. But what's glorious is that back seat is a really close back seat. The Lord works through and he works alongside our everyday needs, our everyday cares, and he even works through those to help your salvation. Indeed, while your salvation is what God cares most about you, he also cares about what you care about. The needs of this body and life. For as you believe and are baptized and are saved, you're his child. And no father simply ignores the requests of his dear children in this time, in this place that you are right now. When you undergo great turmoil in life, or find yourself holed up in the hospital for days on end, or have a loved one going through the same, you do what the scriptures tell you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. What an invite to cast all our anxieties on him since he cares for us, so that we can believe that he hears us, he aches with us, and he even unites our desires with his desires as a child and father unite. When you suffer pain, he suffers pain with you, groaning in the pangs of childbirth with you, waiting for the new day, the new resurrection. The Lord hears your cries for deliverance. And he cared about those with leprosy in the ancient world. We get a glimpse of the specific care of these 10. We hear in the Gospels a few others. As they expected good to come from the Lord, and as they believed the Lord was in this man Jesus, Jesus heard their cry for deliverance, "Lord, have mercy." And he desired to give them healing and deliverance and restoration back into the community. So that for those 10, the healing that took place immediately, it served their faith for the sake of their body and lives to come. Quite often, our own healings of our body is similar, where they're a foretaste of that glorious resurrection to come, where Christ comes to you directly, but in a hidden way. or you catching the common cold and then being relieved from that, having a little resurrection, you might say. It might not, on the one hand, relate at all to eternity and salvation, but the fact that your Father simply loves you and just wanted to grant you healing because you asked for it from God as a dear child asks their dear father. And for us to be well-rounded in this is for us to then wrestle about when we pray to our Father, to God Almighty, for healing, for whatever it is that we need, and it doesn't come. Pray for protection for your loved ones, and you get the phone call that they were involved in a car accident. You're a leper across town, and you hear about the other 10 being healed, and you pray for your own healing, but instead you remain leprous that day. Did God not hear? Does God not love me enough to have granted my request? Did I even do something to offend him that he's denied my prayer? No, dear saints, as you are forgiven in Christ, the Lord does not look at your sin nor deny your prayers because of them. But instead, the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, his unsearchable judgments, his inscrutable ways, determined that the end result is still better, namely in the way that it serves salvation. For many, and especially you, even if we can't see how those puzzle pieces all work together, somehow, some way, whatever reasons the Lord has for saying no to any given prayer of yours, his good and gracious will is being done. And as we shall see, wait and see, the answer often not no, but not yet. Whatever it is that you're going through, God setting up the alley-oop, perhaps, for his law to convict maybe yours on a sin you've not yet realized, maybe even to convict another, as you are attached in relationship to another. And then, of course, that alley-oop of the law is given then to the Christ who died for all, slamming home the consolation of the gospel through repentance and forgiveness, to turn then the heart to eternal life. This is God's good and gracious will. This is why God would have us pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," because we are living heaven even now. And the Catechism really gives the best explanation. What does this mean? How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come, and when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die. This is his good and gracious will. It's subtle, but meditate and munch on those words. What do you hear? What he cares foremost about you, his will, is for you to believe, to be strengthened in that word, to trust in Romans 8 when Paul writes that those who love God, all things work together toward good. All things, pantahasa, both good and bad, all things. Why then does God allow you to remain at times in patience? Somehow, some way, God is working together your afflictions with everything else going on toward good. The only way we can trust this is if he were clear about it. And indeed, he is clear that in due time, good will come. What we're called to do is wait and see. That we can expect, just like these 10 lepers expected to receive good from Jesus. that even when we're attacked in various ways, that what man and their attacks, or the devil and his attacks, what they mean for evil, God will work it towards good. He's going to be there for those who call upon him. He's going to break the will of the devil for those who call upon him. He's going to strengthen and keep firm in his word and faith until we die for those who call upon him. And he cares about you so much as your father that he's even willing to say no to you, to your prayers at times when he sees the better. The best people we have in our life are those willing to say no or not yet, when they know what is better for us. He loves us so much that he wants to teach us to rely upon him and his mercies. That when we say, Lord, have mercy, we're not crying to a God who turns a blind side to us. No, we're crying to the God who cares for us, who desires to have mercy and does give mercy. He cares about you enough to show you your sin. He cares about you enough to hold you even in that place of suffering while you await resurrection. And in that time, to be able to see the cross, to see Jesus suffering there, to be cruciformed with him, sharing in his sufferings, so that being made more like him in his death, in his suffering, his trials, his cross, we are made more like him then in resurrection. To then feed you with this life-giving body and blood, even in the midst of this world and all of its chaos, that we come to the altar in confidence that what I'm going through, God will work it together toward good. Somehow, some way. I trust this. I know this. All I've got to do is wait and see. Let thy will be done among us, dear saints. In Jesus' name, amen.